Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back to the Swamp, my friends, and welcome if you're new. Today we're getting back to some classic roots here on the channel. It's been quite some time since we looked at one state in particular and covered some horror stories. I've done most of the states in the series thus far, but there's still a few states I haven't touched, and one of those states that we're going to cover today is Rhode Island. As always, if you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. Now, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe if you're new, and get ready for these creepy and downright strange Rhode Island horror stories that'll freak you out tonight. Haunted Roads by Perfect Elk. Rhode Island is a small state but rich in history and mystery, particularly for those intrigued by the paranormal. My friend and I have always been fascinated by haunted hotspots, and one place that consistently piqued our interest was Tower Hill Road in Cumberland. The road has a notorious reputation, with locals whispering about supernatural sightings and unsettling events. Some claim to have seen the ghost of a little child walking a dog, while others speak of Native American spirits restless from the violence from the French and Indian War. Drawn by these tales, we decided to explore the subject ourselves. It was a chilly, autumn evening when we set out, the sun dipping below the horizon, casting long shadows over the winding road. As we drove deeper into the countryside, the sense of anticipation grew. Tower Hill Road is only about a mile long, but it feels much longer, like it stretches into another realm. An inexplicable heaviness settled over us as soon as we turned onto the road. The air grew thick, making breathing hard, and a profound silence replaced the usual nighttime sounds. We rolled back down the window slightly, but even the crickets and owls seemed to be avoiding this place. An anxious feeling gnawed at my insides, making me hyper aware of every rustle and creak around us. We drove slowly, peering into the dense woods on either side. The twisted and gnarled trees cast ominous shadows that danced in the car's headlights. Occasionally, I thought I saw movement at the edge of the light, but it vanished when I tried to focus on it. My mind raced, trying to rationalize the shadows, but the feeling of being watched grew stronger with each passing moment. About halfway down the road, we passed an ancient, towering tree that stood out. It was massive, its branches reaching out like skeletal arms. Suddenly, my friend screamed, a blood-curdling sound that shattered the heavy silence around us. She swore she saw a figure standing by the tree watching us with glowing eyes. My heart pounded in my chest, and I could feel the blood drain from my face. I tried to laugh it off, my nervous chuckle sounding hollow and forced, but my entire body felt heavy as lead. Every instinct screamed for me to leave, to get away from this place as fast as humanly possible. We pressed on, and the car was moving at a crawl now. The sense of paranoia was overwhelming, as if unseen eyes were dull into us from the dark. My friend gripped my arm, her nails digging into my skin, her eyes wide with fear. She kept glancing back at the tree, convinced something was following us. As we neared the road's end, the dread intensified, the temperature seemed to drop, and I could see my breath fogging the windshield. Suddenly, a dog's mournful howl pierced the night, sending shivers down my spine. The faint, ghostly laughter of a child followed it. We both froze, listening intently, but the sounds faded as quickly as they had came. The oppressive atmosphere lifted instantly when we finally emerged from Tower Hill Road. We pulled over to the side, both trembling, trying to understand what we had experienced. The mile-long road had felt like an eternity, each second stretched by the palpable fear that clung to us. Looking back, I'm unsure what we encountered on Tower Hill Road. Was it spirits of those long gone, or were our minds playing tricks on us in the dark? Either way, the experience left an indelible mark on us. For anyone in Rhode Island or New England, for that matter, looking for an authentic paranormal experience, Tower Hill Road is a place you won't soon forget. But be warned, the road doesn't just lead you through Cumberland. It takes you deep into the unknown, where the past and the supernatural intertwine in the most unsettling of ways. The Creature of Block Island by Shory Knott. It was between 2005 and 2009, a time that blurs together in my memory, but I vividly recall the unsettling experience my father and I had on Block Island. We were there for an academic conference where my stepmother was giving a talk. As a young teenager, the trip was far from exciting for me. The weather was dreary, the most of my time was spent in the hotel room absorbed in a book. One afternoon, my dad decided to go for a walk. I didn't think much of it at the time. He left the room and I continued reading. The soft patter of rain against the window was the only sound that I heard. After what honestly felt like an eternity, but I'm probably just being dramatic, he returned, bursting into the room with such force that it startled me. His eyes had a wild look, a mix of fear and confusion that was entirely out of character for my father. He quickly shut the door behind him and crossed the window, closing the blinds, twitching the curtains aside, and peering towards the beach as he did so. I asked him what was wrong, but he shook his head and just muttered, "Nothing." His demeanor was so off-putting that I didn't press further. Soon, I put it out of my mind entirely. It wasn't until we were back home, away from the island's oppressive atmosphere, that he finally opened up about it. My father is logical and academic, not usually prone to flights of fancy or superstition. For him to be visibly shaken and unsettled in itself was definitely a red flag. He sat us down and began his story, his voice tense and low. He walked down to the cliff edge where the land drops off towards the beach, enjoying the view of the old, weathered houses that lined the coast. One house in particular caught his eye. It was decrepit, seemingly abandoned, and his curiosity got the best of him. He picked his way down the dune cliffs toward the house, each step crunching on the loose sand. Upon reaching the house, he saw that the large wall section had collapsed, revealing the gutted interior. Intrigued, he approached the hole and peered inside. The interior was a wreck. The ceiling had caved in, allowing him to see straight up to the second floor. As his eyes adjusted to the dim light, he noticed movement on the far wall. His heart skipped a beat as he focused on the source. There, clinging to the wall, was the shadowy shape of a large man. But this was no ordinary man. He had no legs and was climbing hand over hand up the wall, disappearing into the shadows of the second floor with an agility that defied explanation. The sight sent a jolt of terror through him. He stumbled back, his blood running absolutely cold. Panic set in, and he turned and ran, not stopping until he was safely back at the hotel. He finished the story with a haunted look, saying, "I'm not saying it was supernatural. I'm just saying I have zero rational explanation for what I saw, and I never want to return to the island again. Over the years, we've tried to rationalize what we saw. Was it a homeless person, perhaps an amputee, sheltering in an abandoned house? Or was it something else entirely? Is it a massive bat or some kind of optical illusion? None of our theories ever really seemed to explain the figure's sheer size and climbing ability fully. During our stay, I too felt a persistent unease. The island is just like completely foggy all the time. The weather's always pretty bad, the streets are silent, it has this like heavy, oppressive atmosphere. Whether it's just the dreariness of the weather or something more, it felt as though the island itself was watching us. Block Island is known for its history and scenic beauty, but also has a darker, more mysterious side. Stories like my father's add to the island's eerie reputation. Has anyone else experienced something similar? Are we missing a rational explanation, or is Block Island a hotspot for the unexplained?
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bike Path Attack by Oldest Millennial. The summer of 2001 in southern Rhode Island was a time of freedom and discovery for me. At 20 years old, I was between my junior and senior years at the University of Rhode Island. Wanting to make my senior year a bit easier, I stayed on campus, taking some summer classes. I rented a cute little apartment near campus with a friend, enjoying the proximity to the beach and the vibrant student life. Fitness had always been a big part of my life, and that summer, I fell in love with rollerblading. Every single day, I'd head down to the local bike path, a mile or so long stretch that connected two parks, gliding along with my music playing in my earbuds. It was my time to unwind and clear my mind. One morning in July, I was running late for my usual routine. I couldn't find my earbuds anywhere. I searched the entire apartment, frustration mounting, but they were nowhere to be found. Couldn't find them anywhere. Annoyed but determined not to let it ruin my day, I decided to go without them. I said screw it. I arrived at the park, laced up my rollerblades, and descended the path. The weather was beautiful, but dread washed over me about halfway through the mile. It was sunny, and the temperature was in the 80s, yet I had goosebumps. The hair on my neck stood up, and an intense, sinking feeling settled into my stomach. My intuition had never really failed me before, and it was screaming at me that something was awfully wrong. I suddenly became hyper-vigilant of my surroundings, scanning the path ahead like a hawk. That's when I saw him. A man, standing off the path's side, taking steps backward as if to hide behind a tree. But it was too late. I had already seen him. He watched me with dead, predatory eyes, his hands in the pockets of an oversized hoodie clearly hiding something. He was not dressed for exercise. Jeans and work boots were hardly appropriate for the bike path. Panic surged through me, but I fought it down. I had a split second to decide. Stop and turn around, lose my momentum, or keep going and risk an encounter. Memories of past experience with violence and all kinds of things around that flashed through my mind. Anger and defiance replaced fear. Why should I live in fear? Why should I let this man dictate my actions? As I skated closer, I took in every detail of his appearance. His dark eyes and beard, the plain blue baseball cap, the hoodie, jeans, construction boots. I locked eyes with him, letting him see the rage and determination in my gaze. Our eye contact held for a few long, intense seconds, and he looked away. I knew he had decided against his plan, but I wasn't quite safe yet. I sped past him, heart pounding, and reached the second park. I quickly removed my rollerblades and began walking back to my car along the road parallel to the bike path. The mile-long walk in my socks felt endless, and I was acutely aware of every passing car, fearing he might be following me. When I finally saw my car, I broke into a run, locking myself inside as soon as I reached it. I never went back to that bike path again. But the story doesn't end there. That evening, after my shift at the restaurant, I returned to my apartment complex sometime around 10 p.m. My neighbor was pacing and smoking a cigarette in the parking lot. His face was streaked with tears, and he looked absolutely distraught. He and his girlfriend, who lived upstairs, had always been friendly to me. So seeing him so distressed, I approached and greeted him, worried. He told me his girlfriend was in the hospital. She had been attacked and violated by a stranger suffering severe injuries, including a head wound from hitting the concrete. My heart sank, and I felt tears welling up in my eyes. I asked him, "Did it happen on the bike path?" His eyes widened in shock. "Yeah, how did you know?" he demanded. I explained that morning I had an encounter with somebody, describing the man in detail. He immediately asked if I could talk to the police, and of course I did. Because of that inner voice urging me to remember everything, I gave a full description. As much as I know right now, I don't think anybody's ever caught the guy yet. The girl recovered and moved out shortly after that. I don't blame them. The most chilling part of the story, however, was the mystery of the earbuds. The day after the incident, I found them where they were supposed to be on the kitchen counter. I knew they were not there when I looked, and my roommate hadn't taken them. It was as if some higher power had intervened, ensuring I stayed alert and aware that day. The Wendy's Intruder by Anonymous. My family and I travel to Rhode Island quite frequently during the summer months, and I always bring a friend or two to spend the time with me there. We only make day trips, so we only stayed there for a short period usually. On the way home, we stopped to eat in a city about midway between Rhode Island and where I live. My friends, my father, and I usually go while my mother stays in the car. The part we drove through in the city wasn't that safe, but we had no issues before this. Now on to the actual incident. We were heading home after a long and enjoyable day at the beach when we finally arrived in the city, where we stopped to find something to eat. My friend suggested Wendy's, and since she's our guest, I don't mind, so we stopped there. My father asked my mother if she'd like anything, and she tells him that she's actually going to come in with us since she needs to use the restroom. So we all get out, my dad locks the car, and we go in to order. We go in, we start ordering, and at this point my mother is back and we're all waiting for our food. As we're just about to leave, I turn around to see through the window that has a full view of the parking lot that there's a man who looks to be a bit older, maybe in his late 40s or so, looking through the passenger and driver's side of our car. I think he's perhaps mistaken. Maybe he thinks that it's his car. However, after about 2 minutes or so, he begins to hit the front passenger side window with quite a bit of force, seemingly trying to get into the car. At this point, I start freaking out and make my friend look. She started getting worried and we quickly got my dad. My father hands my mother all the food, rushes out to the car, and tells the man to screw off. He quickly enters his silver sedan with New York plates and speeds off. Sadly, we fail to take pictures of them as he was quite in a hurry to leave. After this fiasco, we hurry into the car and talk about why he was trying to get into the car so badly. It dawned on us that after about 45 minutes of talking, that my father's phone, which he had left charging on the console in plain view, was right there. We have honestly never stopped at a Wendy's ever again after this. I think we're kind of scarred, even though Wendy's has nothing to do with this. It still bothers me to think about it, though. What would have happened if we didn't stop him from breaking into the car? Would he have just stolen the stuff, or would something worse have happened?
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to these creepy and downright strange stories from Rhode Island. If you have a story from your home state or your hometown or anything similar to that that you would like to share in a future episode, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description of this very episode. Or you can go to Reddit at r/thedarkswamp and send your story in through there. Thank you guys so much for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I couldn't do this on a daily basis without you guys. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to smack that like button so YouTube knows you enjoyed this episode. The more likes this episode gets, the more YouTube promotes it, and that helps the Swamp grow its ever-expanding waters. If you're new, be sure to subscribe and be sure those notifications are turned on, as I upload multiple videos every single week and you don't want to miss those. If you're on the go but don't have YouTube Premium but still want to download and listen to your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories no matter where you are, you can download them absolutely free from Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and pretty much everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. Thank you guys once again for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I'll see you all soon with another creepy episode.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.